الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading the narrations that Al-Hafidh عبد الغني المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى he had mentioned in his work عمدة الأحكام and in the book of الزكاة. Kitabu al-Zakah. We have read the first narration that the author he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we continue reading. He says, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس فيما دون خمس أواق صدقة ولا فيما دون خمس ذود صدقة ولا فيما دون خمسة أوسق صدقة. The author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned the narration of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu. He is from those noble companions who are known to have narrated more than 1,000 narrations in the books of hadith. Min al-mukthirina fi riwaya, radiyallahu anhu. And he says that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَيْسَ فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسِ أَوَّاقٍ صَدَقًا. There is no obligatory charity, meaning zakat. There is no zakat in that which is less than five uqiyah. Awaq is the plural of uqiyah. And the people of Najd have agreed that one uqiyah is 40 dirham. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسِ ذَوْدٍ صَدَقَةً. And also, there is no zakat, obligatory charity, in that which is lesser than five ذود. الذود يعني الإبل. الإبل. And this is one of those terms that is a plural, and it has no singular form. And the singular of the إبل, or of the ذود, is البعير. So there's no obligatory charity and that which is less than five camels. وَلَا فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسِتِ أَوْسُقٍ صَدَقَةً. And also, there is no صَدَقَةً, yani no obligatory charity, and that which is less than five أوسق. And the أوسق is the plural of وسق. And the وسق is ستون صاع, 60 صاع. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned here some of al-amwal al-zakawiyyah. Three types of al-amwal al-zakawiyyah. And they are, that he mentioned the fidda huna, which is from the naqdan. And then likewise, the ibl, which is from al-bihima, bahimat al-an'am. And then likewise, the hubub wa thimar, the hubub wa thimar. Then what is left? عروض التجارة. عروض التجارة. And then also along with that is the ma'din and the rikas. The ma'din and the rikas. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned three different types of the wealth that has a cat on it. And along with that, he mentioned the nisab. He mentioned the nisab. So these affairs, they have proceeded, alhamdulillah, in a bit of detail. In the nisab of each of these affairs, and what one will be required to pay in each circumstance according to the situation. So this is an evidence for that which has proceeded from the obligation of the nisab. Here specifically with regards to the camels, we've seen that the nisab is five, the one who has five camels, and we've seen the details of those camels, likewise that they're sa'imah, and we've seen what that means and what this requires, as well that he will pay one sha', and then it would increase as has proceeded. And likewise, we have seen the issue with regards to the hubub and thimar, and the thimar, and the details with regards to that. And that one wasq is 60 sa', and so that means khamsa to awsuq would be 300 sa'. So therefore, the people of Najd have made an estimation that the nisab of the hubub and thimar is 612 kilo. And there's a difference of opinion about that. This has proceeded likewise. Here the nisab of the fidda is mentioned. Five awaq, and one awaq is 40. One awaq is four. One awqiyah is 40. So then how much is the nisab? 40 times 5. 200 dirham. 200 dirham. This is the nisab of the wariq, the nisab of the fiddah. And as for the dhahab, the dinar, it is 20 dinar. We have seen the details of this likewise. This is the evidence for that which has proceeded in the classes with regards to the details of a zakat. And we have seen likewise today that the nisab of the dhahab is 85 grams and the fiddah is 595 grams. And we've seen how to add that up and how to find the amount in dollars. And we've seen the details with regards to that. Alhamdulillah. And then likewise, the urud al-tijara, that which has come with regards to these affairs as well has proceeded. After this, the author, he says, عَنَ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لَيْسَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ فِي عَبْدِهِ وَلَا فَرَسِهِ صَدَقَةٌ وَفِي لَفْظٍ إِلَّا زَكَاةِ الْفِطْرِ فِي الرَّقِيقِ. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, the narration of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is no sadaqah, there is no obligatory charity upon a Muslim. There's no zakat. The obligation of zakat is not upon a Muslim with regards to his slave, and nor with regards to his horse. In one wording, it's mentioned, except zakat al-fitr upon the slave. So here we see that the zakat, first and foremost, is obligatory upon the Muslims, and this has proceeded, and not upon the disbelievers. First and foremost, the disbelievers, they will be called to accept Islam, and they will be called to the Shahadatain. And if they accept that, then after that they will be invited and ordered and clarified to them the obligation of Salah, and after that the Zakat. But if they refuse to accept the Shahadatain, then the Salah will never benefit them, and nor will the Zakat. And they will be held accountable for all of that. They will be held accountable for rejecting the Shahadatain, and likewise that which comes about from that as well, from not fulfilling the obligations of Zakat, and likewise the obligations of Zakat. They will be held accountable for all of that in the hereafter, waliyadu billah. So the point is now that here, laysa ala al-muslim fi abdihi, meaning the Zakat is upon a Muslim, but not in his slave, and not in his horse. And what is intended from this narration, and the benefits that are derived from this, is to clarify that the items that a person, he owns them and he possesses them, and they're in his property and in his possession for personal usage and benefit, there's no zakat on that. So any items that a person, he purchases, that he uses and he benefits from, that he uses daily, or they're just in his possession and the likes like this, these items, they don't have zakat on them. So the clothing that he wears, even if they're expensive, or the furniture in his house, even if it's expensive, even if it's valuable, or the vehicles that he has, or the homes that he owns, they're just possessions that he has. He has a number of different possessions, different vehicles that he uses or that he has in his possession, and they're from things that he possesses, and things that his own, and either kunya, min bab al-iqtina, that he purchases these things, and they're in his property and his possession. So there's no zakat on these affairs. There's no zakat on a person's house, on a person's home, on a person's property, on a person's car, on a person's clothing, on a person's on his furniture, and so on and so forth. Those items that he uses and the likes, and that he possesses, that's other than those amwal al-zakawiyya that have preceded. There's no zakat on that. The only time that these affairs would become considered from the issue of zakat, and zakat would be obligatory upon them, if he intended to sell them. If he had one of these items or a number of these items, and then he intended to sell them and the likes like this, then now it would be considered from urud al-tijara. And likewise, the details of that have proceeded as well. So this is from the evidences of that likewise. And in this other wording, except zakat al-fitr in the raqiq. And we have seen likewise that zakat al-amwali wa zakat al-abdan. So there's the zakat that is obligatory on the wealth. وَهَذُهُ الرُّكْنُ الثَّانِثُ مِنْ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ zakat al-amwal zakat al-amwal, the zakat that is obligatory upon the wealth of the wealthy. This is the zakat that is considered from the third pillar of al-Islam. As for zakat al-abdan, this is zakat al-fitr that becomes obligatory on the night of Eid al-Fitr, on the night of Eid al-Fitr. And this is called zakat al-badan, or zakat al-abdan, because it's an obligation upon everybody. And everybody, every person, everybody under the care of a believer, every Muslim body, every Muslim person under the care of a believer. So this is what is intended here. So there will be zakat on the slave, zakat al-fitr. If a person, he had a Muslim slave, then he'll pay zakat on his behalf. Anyone under his authority and care, then a believer, he will pay the zakat al-fitr on his behalf. And the details of this will come likewise in the chapter the author he mentions after this, Babu Sadaqat al-Fitr. Babu Sadaqat al-Fitr. But the benefit here that we learn and that we take is that the items that are taken as al-Qunya, and is something that a person he will purchase them to have in his possession and that he owns, and their items in his property and the likes like this that he uses or benefits from, there's no zakat on that. There's no zakat on that. The zakat is in al-amwal al-namiya. Al-amwal al-namiya, the wealth that flourishes and grows and multiplies. This is the type of wealth that there's zakat in. As for the wealth that a person he has and he's using it daily, this type of wealth is not growing. It's not flourishing. It's not multiplying. So therefore, there's no zakat on that. After this, the author, he says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, and Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, anna رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الأجماء جبار والبئر جبار والمعدن جبار وفي الركاز الخمس. The author, he says, رحمه الله, الجبار الهدر الذي لا شيء عليه, يعني لا ضمان فيه, يعني لا ضمان فيه, والأجماء أي الدابة, الدابة يعني البهيمة, البهيمة. So the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-ajma'u jubar. Al-ajma'u jubar. Al-ajma' is, as the author he mentioned in his interpretation of these terms, al-dab. Al-dab, yani al-bahima. Al-ajma', what is intended by this is the animal. Like the cattle, for example, or any of the animals, and they're named عجمة لعجمتها, لأنها لا تنطق, لا تنطق. They do not speak. The animals, they do not have the ability to speak, so they are considered عجمة from this aspect. Here at عجمة جبار, جبار. The author, he says, the meaning of جبار هدر الذي لا شيء عليه, يعني لا ضمان فيه. لا ضمان فيه. That's the meaning of that. الهدر, something that ذهب هدران, يعني that it's a complete loss, that it's not guaranteed and there's no warranty in that, and no one will pay compensation upon that. Compensation, I need to repay somebody. If something happened to somebody's wealth and they lost their money or their property, sometimes in certain circumstances, a person, he'll be required to pay the compensation. He'll be considered ضامن. He will have a guarantee or a warranty, and he'll be required to rectify that which he violated, that which he broken, or that which he corrupted, or that which he lost, and the likes like this. But not in every case. Not in every case. So the word jubar, this is what it means, hadr. And the meaning of al-ajma jubar, meaning that an animal, if it broke something or destroyed somebody's property or wealth or hurt somebody, then that issue there is considered hadr, yani jubar, hadr. لا ضمان فيه. A person, he will not be required to recompensate somebody for something that his animal did. If his animal harmed somebody, or if his animal destroyed somebody's property, for example, then there's no compensation upon him, and there's no right upon him to pay for that loss. The people of knowledge, they mention here that there are some details in this, and this is whenever the animal does something on its own without any negligence from the owner, or without any intention or transgression from the owner. As for if the owner was negligent with regards to his animal, and that animal destroyed somebody's property or harmed somebody, biting them, for example, or kicking them, or hitting them with their head, for example, if the owner of that animal was negligent with regards to that, and then that happened, he would be considered dhamin. He would have to pay the recompense for that, and he would be held accountable for that. And he will be held accountable for that. Or if the person himself, he was a mu'tadi, and he was transgressing, and he used the animal to violate the right of that person and to harm him intentionally or to destroy his property intentionally, and the likes like this, then he would be considered dhamin. He would have to guarantee that, and he would have to pay the recompense or the compensation for that. He would have to pay the compensation for that. As for if the person, he had an animal, and the animal was moving freely, and the owner he was not negligent with regards to that, and nor was he violating the rights or transgressing the limits, and that animal bit somebody or tore up somebody's property or destroyed somebody's property, then there's no recompense upon the owner, because the animals, they're not held accountable. And these affairs happen like this, so that is considered jubar, yani hadr, la dhamana alayhi, or la shay alayhi wa la dhamana fihi. So this is the meaning of this affair here. وَالْبِئْرُ جُبَارُ وَالْبِئْرُ جُبَارُ And the bi'r likewise is jubar. Jubar has a, we see the meaning of that. هَدْرَ لَا ضَمَانَ فِيهِ Al-bi'r is a well. Al-bi'r is a well. So if a person, he had a well on his property, for example, and then somebody climbed into that well, and then they were harmed, and then they got hurt, or then they died, for example, there's no blood money for that, or there's no compensation for that. He will not have to pay for that. He will not be considered dhamin. He will not be considered dhamin. And likewise, the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, that there are details here as well, and that is the case if the well is in his own property, and the likes like this. As for if he dug a well in the middle of the public street, or he dug a hole, for example, not necessarily a well, even if it's a hole, for example, he dug a hole. If somebody dug a hole in the middle of a walkway or in the middle of a street, and then he did not put any signs or anything to block it, or any barricades around it like this to warn the people, and then somebody fell into it, then he would be considered dhamin. As for if it's in his own property, in his own land and the likes like this, and then somebody fell into that, then he would not be considered dhamin. Any dhamin meaning he would have to pay the compensation. He would have to pay the compensation. Or if he asked somebody, if he hired somebody, for example, to dig a well for him, or to dig a hole for him, or to do some work for him, and that person that he hired or that he asked to help him was of sound mind, and likewise of the age of puberty, and mukallafan, and then something happened to that person, he got hurt in the process of that, there's no dhaman on him. Jubar, al-bi'ru jubar, this is the evidence for that. But if the person who hired the individual or asked him to go into the well or to go into the hole or to dig a hole or to do this particular work for him was aware of a particular danger in this hole or this well, or in this particular any situation, he knew that there was something loose, or there was a problem there, and he hid that from the individual and did not tell him, and then he advanced upon that work or climbing into that hole and the likes like this, and now he was harmed because of that. Now he would have to pay compensation. Now he would have to pay compensation. So again, if the person, he's not negligent, then he will not have to pay. If the person, he agreed to work for an individual and to do a particular job, or to dig a well, or to go down into a hole, or the likes like this, or to climb up a tree, for example, to climb a tree to get the fruits off a tree, for example, or to do any other work similar like this, and he's sound-minded, and he agreed to do that on his own will, and he was not forced to do that, nor was he tricked or deceived, and then something happened to him, the one who had asked him, or the owner of that property, will not have to pay any compensation. As for if he deceived him, or he hid some dangers from him and did not inform him, or if he forced him and the likes like this, then he would definitely have to pay compensation. And this is the meaning, وَالْبِئْرُ jubar. And wallahu alam, these issues will come again yani in chapters to come, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So he says now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالْمَعْدِينُ jubar. وَالْمَعْدِينُ jubar. The ma'din, يعني المكان الذي تستخرج منه الجواهر وأمثالها الجواهر يعني from the likes of the ذهب and the فضة and the رصاص and the نحاس and the نفط, the places the ma'din, the places where these valuable ores are derived from, or where they're found at in the earth, like the gold and the silver and the bronze and the different metals and the different ores and the likes like this, from these valuable elements and these valuable items that are found in the earth, any that are not they're not considered dirt or the part of the earth, but rather they're found there in the earth, also like oil and petroleum and the likes like this. So a person who had hired somebody to dig for him the ma'din, or to work for him in the ma'din, for example. And it's the same situation. He asked somebody who was sound-minded and of the age of puberty and the likes to work for him, or to go down in the ma'din for him, or the likes like this. Then if something happened to him and he did not deceive him or trick him or force him, then there's no compensation upon him for that. And either there's no compensation upon the one who asked him to work for him, or to dig, or to go down in the ma'din. Whether that person, yani, he would do that upon his own will, and if something happens to him, then the responsibility of that is upon him, and not upon the owner of the ma'din, and not upon the owner of the ma'din. And Allah knows best. And then he says here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa fi rikazi al khumus. And this is the shahid, yani, for the chapter wa fi rikazi al khumus. And in the rikaz is al khumus, yani, a fifth. And we have seen the issues of the rikaz likewise, yani, al markuz fi al-ardi min dafa'in al-jahiliyyah, min dafa'in al-jahiliyyah, ma dafanahu an-nas fi al-jahiliyyah min amwal al-kufar, that this is from those treasures and the wealth of the disbelievers that is buried in the earth, and the believer, he will find that. And we have seen the details of that likewise. If he found it in an open land that is not owned by somebody, as for if he found that in somebody or in his own land, for example, as for if he found that on somebody else's land, then it would be considered from the bab of al-luqata. And we have seen that likewise, the details of that. So this is to clarify the rikaz, yani, you pay the khumus, you pay a fifth of that, fi qalilihi wa kathirihi bi ghayri hawl. We have seen these details as well, alhamdulillah, that the one who finds this treasure that's considered the rikaz from the wealth of the disbelievers, not from the believers. Likewise, if it was from the wealth of the believers, it would be considered also luqata, a lost and found item, and he had dropped and lost and a lost item that will be announced that it was found in order to return it back to its owner. And there's rulings with regards to that. Likewise, will come in the chapter of al-luqata, insha'Allah ta'ala. But here he would have to pay a fifth of that immediately whenever he finds it. If he found, for example, some gold or some coins or some other treasure from the treasures of the jahiliyyah, of the disbelievers, he found it in the earth, and that it was buried in the likes like this, then a fifth of that he will pay it immediately. A fifth of that he will pay it immediately without any hole, no matter how much he found, whether it's a small amount or a large amount. And this is from the issue, yani, of those at amwal al-zakawiyyah. So the author, he mentioned this narration for this point here in this chapter, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Now he says, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, annahu qal, ba'atha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Umara radiyallahu anhu ala sadaqah, faqila mana' ibn Jamil wa Khalid ibn Walid wal Abbas ammu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ينقم ابن جميل إلا أن كان فقيرا فأغناه الله وأما خالد فإنكم تظلمون خالدا وقد احتبس أدراءه واعتاده في سبيل الله وأما العباس فهي علي ومثلها. ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عمر أما شعرت أن عم الرجل سنوان أبيه أَمَا شَعَرَتَ أَنَّ عَمَّ الرَّجُلِ سِنْوَانُ أَبِيهِ. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Umar out to gather the sadaqah. He sent Umar out to gather the sadaqah. And the sadaqah, again, we have seen this a number of times in a number of different narrations or in a number of different texts, that there were sadaqah. It has more than one meaning. It could be referred to as sadaqah al-mafruḍa, was sadaqah al-nafila, or tatawwa minha. So the word sadaqah, sometimes it's used to refer to the obligatory charity, and other times it's used to refer to the non-obligatory charity. So many times we will find the word sadaqah, and what is intended by way of that is zakat. And that is the case here again. That is the case here again, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Umar radiallahu anhu sa'iyan, wajabiyan, to go collect the sadaqah. So there, the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to only send individuals to collect the obligatory charity. to collect the obligatory charity. So then this is another clarification that the word صدقة, it means الزكاة. الزكاة المفروضة. الزكاة المفروضة. So Umar, he was sent, radiallahu anhu. Then whenever he went out and he came, he says, منع ابن جميل وخالد ابن الوليد والعباس عام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Umar, he returned and he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he tried to get the zakat from these from Ibn Jamil and he refused, and from Khalid ibn al-Walid and he refused, and from Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhu, and he refused. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, ma yanqimu ibn Jamil illa an kana faqiran fa aghnahu Allah. Ma yanqimu yani ma yunkiru ibn Jamil. Ibn Jamil, he's not denying and refusing to give the sadaqah, except the fact that he was poor, and then Allah sufficed him and made him wealthy. Ibn Jamil, he's not refusing to pay the sadaqah, except, or he's not denying or refusing to pay the sadaqah, except that he was poor, and then Allah Azza wa Jal gave him wealth until he was rich, and wealthy. And this is Ibrahim here. And he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as for Khalid, then you all are oppressing him. As for Khalid, then you are all oppressing him. You're oppressing him because indeed, قَدْ احْتَزَبَ أَدْرَاعَهُ الْأَدْرَاعُ يعني the plural of dir'a. And the dir'a is the type of garment. It's a clothing. It's the type of clothing that is made for war. And it would have sewn in along with it rings of steel and iron. So it's a type of garment that is made that a soldier he will wear that is fortified with rings of steel, any for protection. It's called a dirr. And the plural is adra. So and likewise wa atadahu. The atad is the plural of atad, and the atad yani ma yu'tadu min al asliha wa al dawab li al jihad yani for war. So these are the weapons and the provisions for war. So he's mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Khalid, he did not pay the zakat, or he refused to pay the zakat, because all of his wealth he has already given it in the path of Allah. And he ihtabasahu aw ihtabasaha, yani the people of Nar, as they say, al-habisa, is from the terms that are used to refer to the waqf, and the waqf likewise is a chapter that will come inshaAllah ta'ala. But what is intended is the endowments. Whenever a person, he will leave as a charity, for example, a masjid, he will build a masjid and he'll make it a waqf for the Muslims. Or he will build an orphanage and he will leave it as a waqf, meaning an endowment that will remain for him and for his family or whoever he leaves it for after him, and the reward will continue to come to him so long as that endowment continues. They would make, for example, the waqf for a masjid, or a waqf for an orphanage, or a waqf for the widows, or a waqf for the students of knowledge. And they'll build schools and the likes like this. Also, the companions, they used to leave weapons, and they used to leave horses and camels of war as the waqf, meaning that this is something that can only be used for this purpose, whatever the person he left it as an endowment for. For example, sometimes we see the masahif, they say waqf on them. You might think that means stop. No, it doesn't mean stop. It means endowment. It means that particular mushaf cannot be used for anything except for what it was placed for. It must stop and stay and be used for only what it was placed for. So if it's placed in the masjid, it's not allowed to ever take it out of the masjid. And it's definitely not allowed to ever sell it. So the waqf is something that is an endowment that will be placed for the sake of Allah, in the path of Allah, for whatever the person he left it for. If he left it for the orphans, it's for the orphans. If he left it for the students of knowledge, for the students of knowledge. If he left it for the Muslims in general, it's for the Muslims in general, like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's mentioning here that he left his weapons like this, and all of his items like this, as a waqf, in the path of Allah. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned two interpretations. And either his zakat was already paid in this manner, his zakat was already paid in this manner, and he left his weapons in the waqf like this, or you're accusing him of this affair, and this man, he already gave all of his weapons and all of this property and all of his wealth as a charity. If it was not the obligatory charity, if this waqf here was not the obligatory charity and it was a non-obligatory charity, then how could a person who gives all of his wealth in a non-obligatory action of worship be thought about him that he would refuse to pay the obligation? Be thought about him that he would be refused to pay the obligation. In any case, here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's defending him. He's defending him and clarifying that he's not refusing to pay, rather he has a right, and he didn't pay because this is what is correct. This is what is correct for him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that for him. وَأَمَّا الْعَبَّاسِ, and as for the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he says, فَهِيَ عَلَيَّ وَمِثْلُهُ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, then as for Abbas, then his zakat is upon me and the likes thereof. And the likes thereof. The people of Nadas, they mentioned likewise that they have mentioned likewise two interpretations of this, either that Abbas, he had already paid the zakat ahead of time, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already has it, and that's allowed in circumstances. It's allowed to pay the zakat in advance if a person needs to, if the obligation of zakat has already come upon him, and we have seen the details of that likewise, alhamdulillah. And this is one interpretation, so therefore he's not blameworthy likewise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as defending, is defending Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu. The other interpretation is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had taken the responsibility upon himself to pay the zakat for his uncle, and out of honor and respect for his uncle. So this is another interpretation. In any case, there are three individuals here mentioned that it was considered by Umar radiallahu anhu, they refused to pay the zakat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he blamed one of them and he defended the other two. He blamed one of them and he defended the other two. Any one of them was blameworthy with regards to this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that. And the main point, and Allah knows best for the author mentioning this narration here, is to clarify that the Imam, he will send out the Jubat and the Su'at. He will send out individuals to go collect the Sadaqah. He will send the individuals to go out through the lands to collect the Sadaqah, and that the people, they will not bring their Sadaqah, any especially the animals and the likes like this. That it's the responsibility of the Imam and the leader of the believers to send workers who will go out to their lands. And we have seen the details of that likewise. إِنَّمَا تُخَذُ صَدَقَاتُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي مِيَائِهِمْ أَوْ فِي دُورِهِمْ. We have seen the details of that likewise. Alhamdulillah. So that's the point from here. And likewise, the point as well, or the shahid, from this narration now, is to clarify that that person who is sent, he's somebody who is considered faqih and the issues of zakat, and likewise he's considered amin. He's considered amin, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he is at the best, at the highest level of this affair, of having fiqh in the religion and being trustworthy and reliable. So the Imam, he will send individuals to go collect the zakat, and those individuals he will send, they will be knowledgeable specifically about the affairs of zakat, about the ansiba, and about the amounts to be taken, and the types to be taken, and the likes like this, and when to be taken, and so on and so forth. And likewise, he'll be also trustworthy and reliable, that he will not deceive nor betray the trust with regards to taking or delivering the sadaqah, with regards to taking or delivering the sadaqah. So this is the case here. Ibn Jamil, it's mentioned about him that he's known by his kunya like this. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned, kana munafiqan. And he, wallahu a'lam, at this time, this was the case, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blamed him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blamed him, mentioning that he was poor. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him and gave him, gave him provision. And then now he's refusing. مَا يَنْقِمُ مَا يَنْقِمُ يعني مَا يُنْكِرْ إِبْنُ جَمِيلٍ إِلَّا أَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَأَغْنَاهُ اللَّهُ. Ibn Jamil, he's not denying or refusing to give the charity, except that he was poor, and then Allah provided for him and made him rich. And then, I mean, this is a blameworthy. This is in the science of balagha. The people of knowledge, they say, this is ta'kid of them, bima yushbihu al-madh. Ta'kid with them, bima yushbihu al-madh. This is to emphasize the blameworthiness of somebody in a manner that's resembling praise. And it's as if you think that he's going to be praised, but in the end, in actuality, he's emphasizing the blame of this person. Although the people of Nadas mentioned Ibn Jamil radiallahu anhu, in the end his Islam became good. That he accepted and entered into Islam properly, and his Islam became good. At this time, wallahu a'lam, there was deficiency in his faith, and this is why this occurred from him, radiyallahu anhu. So taqid them bima yushbihu and madh. So he said ma yanqimu ibn Jamil. He didn't deny illa. So when you hear illa, you think that he's going to say and make an excuse for him, right? We say so on. So he's not denying to pay the zakat except for the fact that. So now you're waiting for to hear the excuse. So now you're waiting to hear the excuse, but the excuse doesn't come. What comes? Emphasizing the affair. Illa annahu kana faqiran fa aghnahu Allah. He's not denying to pay the obligatory charity, except for the fact that he was poor and Allah made him wealthy. Except that he was poor and Allah made him wealthy. So now this is any of the in balagha and the eloquence and the beauty of speech. This is from the manners of emphasizing the blame of a person. Of emphasizing the blame of a person. Methodan, they say, هذا البيت ضيق إلا أنه مظلم. Like this house is so small, except for the fact that it's black and darkened and gloomy, like this. So whenever you hear this is something bad, and except you're expecting for them to now defend or to make an exception to clarify that it's not as bad as you think. And this is normally how one he will speak. Like this, he'll use the exception al istithna, like this, and he saw. So the house is bad, except for the fact that, or the house is tight or small, except for the fact that it's cozy. Like this, maybe you would think something like this would come, but here in this manner of speaking is emphasizing the blame of this particular thing. هذا البيت ضيق إلا أنه مظلم. Like this will emphasize the affair. This house is small. This house is small and tight, except for the fact that it's gloomy and dark. Meaning emphasizing that it's no good. And emphasizing the blame. Also, it comes the opposite of that as well. In the science of balagha. Yani, it comes ta'kid al-madih bima yushbihu al-dham. Ta'kid al-madih. To emphasize the praise of something. To emphasize the praise of something in a manner that seems, in a manner that resembles blame. In a manner that resembles blame. There's some lines of poetry similar like this. The poet, he says, لَا عَيْبَ فِيهِمْ غَيْرَ أَنَّ سَيُوفَهُمْ بِهِنَّ فُلُولٌ مِّنْ كِرَاءِ الْكِتَائِبِ. He said that, and there's no blame upon them. Speaking about this particular tribe and this particular army, there's no blame upon them. There's no blame upon them except for the fact. So now what are you expecting? To mention a blame. Right? There's no blame upon them except for the fact. There's no fault with them except that they... Right? Now you're waiting. Normally you're expecting to hear some type of blame. So he says, لَا عَيْبَ فِيهِمْ غَيْرَ أَنَّ سُيُوفَهُمْ بِهِنَّ فُلُولٌ مِّنْ كِرَاءِ الْكِتَابِ. They have no blame upon them. They have no fault with them except for the fact that their swords are shattered and broken from striking their enemies. They're not blameworthy whatsoever except for the meaning that he's praising them in a great manner. These people are they're very brave. These individuals are brave and strong and they're not afraid. And there's no blame on them whatsoever. There's no fault with them whatsoever, except for the fact that their swords are broken and shattered from striking their enemies. So this is from the beauty of the Arabic language. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he's using in this manner here. Any of this balagha. As for Khalid ibn Walid, then he's very well known. Radiyallahu anhu, Saifullah, Abu Sulaiman, Saifullah, Khalid ibn Walid, radiyallahu anhu. He was from the most noble of Quraysh before Islam and after Islam. And he was from those soldiers and warriors and from the most brave of them likewise. And he fought along with Quraysh against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam almost all of the battles until Al-Hudaybiyah, until the truce of Hudaybiyah. And then after that, he accepted Islam, radiyallahu anhu, in the 8th year before the Fath. And then likewise, he attended the conquest of Mecca and he attended the battle of Hunayn. And he fought along with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu after that in the war against those people who apostated. And also he fought Faris and he fought Rum radiallahu anhu. And it was at his hands that the conquer of Dimashq occurred. And Damascus radiallahu anhu is a great warrior and soldier and fighter in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and from the best of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He died in the year 21 on his bed. This was an amazing affair. How many battles and how many times he had faced the enemy in war with swords, and on horseback and on feet, and all through all through the lands, and in the end he's dying on his bed, he's safe in his bed, and this is where he died, radiallahu anhu. And he faced the enemies in battle time after time after time. And it's mentioned likewise that he had many wounds and scars on his body from where he was struck by swords or by arrows and the like, that is radiallahu anhu. But it was not written for him that he would die except in his own bed in his own home. And this is from the lutf of Allah Azza wa Jal, and from the command and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, that Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib radiallahu anhu, from the uncles of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu al-Fadl, and he was from also the most noble of the tribe of Quraysh in Jahiliyyah, and likewise in al-Islam. And he attended along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Bay'at al-Aqaba al-Thaniya, before the Hijrah, when the Ansar, they came to pledge their allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the season of Hajj. And Abbas, he was there while he was a disbeliever, defending the Prophet and making sure that he was safe even upon disbelief and upon Jahiliyyah. And it wasn't until the eighth year likewise that he accepted Islam, and he witnessed the conquest of Mecca as well. And likewise, he was firm in the Battle of Hunain, and he was known for his strong resolve and firm positions, radiallahu anhu. He died in the year 32. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he led the janazah on the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. So from the benefits of this narration is the legislation of sending out individuals to gather the zakat, and specifically with regards to al-amwal al-zahira. The people of knowledge, they also have divided al-amwal al-zakawiyya ila qismayn, ila two types, al-amwal al-zahira wal-amwal al-batina. Al-amwal al-zahira, yani al-amwal al-zahira, the animals, the behemoth al-anam, and also the zuru' wa thimar. This is wealth that is apparent, that is seen, and the likes like this. As for the wealth that is not seen, that's not known, that's the gold and the silver and the cash. And this is something no one knows except for the owner, how much he has and whether that zakat is obligatory. As for the animals, it's apparent, and the likes that is seen, that they're in the open and the likes like this. So the imam, he will send individuals to collect that wealth, and he will bring it back to the imam, or he will distribute it himself according to the orders that he is given. Likewise, we see that if a person were to forbid or prohibit and not give the zakat to the worker, then the worker, he will hasten to inform the person in charge. And if he mentioned those people in a bad light in this manner like this is not considered backbiting. If he complained and mentioned that they're withholding the zakat and they're not giving it in the proper manner, then this is not considered backbiting. So this is a benefit here. Likewise, also we see the eloquence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his choice of words. Also we see from the benefits of this narration, the people of knowledge mentioned the obligation of reminding the person who is heedless or forgetful, and the likes like this, and that you defend an individual, somebody who was wrong, or he made a mistake, or he was unaware of something, or he mentioned something that was wrong about somebody, then a person, he would defend his brother. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma," that you aid and you help your brother, whether he's oppressed or being oppressed. And so here, the Khalid is mentioned in the wrong light, and he had a misunderstanding. So he was being blamed. Or someone is complaining about him, and likewise Abbas radiallahu anhum. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he defended them and clarified that affair. Also in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Umar, ama sha'arta, yani ama arafta, anna amar rajuli sinhu abi," did you not know, Umar, that the uncle of a man is sinhu abihi? Sinwu abihi, yani mithla abihi, is like him. Sinwu, yani, is something that is the same. And it's referred to in the book of Allah, sinwanun ghayru sinwan. Sinwan, or the sinwal from the nakhil or from the date palms is whenever there will be a date tree that has one root and one trunk, or one root and one base, and from that two or three will come. It will be one tree, but from that tree will be two branches, two trees. It's actually one root and one base, one root and one base, and it would proceed from the earth, and then from that it will split and it will be two, or even sometimes it will split and it will be three, and each one will be different. And even the fruits of them, they'll be different. And they are all provided from the same water and from the same base. This is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what sinwan means, or sinwun. Sinwun. So the sinwun is the date tree that has this one roots, but it has two. It has two trees. Two trees going back to one root. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَمَا شَعَرْتَ أَنَّ عَمَ الرَّجُلِ سِنْوُ أَبِهِ. Did you not know that the uncle, the am is the brother of the father, the father's brother. The father's brother, he's called the am. The mother's brother is called the khal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the father's brother, the uncle from the father's side, sinu abihi, he's just like his father. And he's just like his father in honor and respect and in virtue, meaning that the same way that you honor your father, you must honor your uncle like that, and his brother as well. So this is indicating the great right of the am, the great right of the am, and that he should be respected and that he should be honored. And this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarifying that and mentioning this affair. Also, from the benefits of this narration, it's allowed. We see that it's allowed to make the wakala or the tawkil, to place somebody else in charge to dispose of some affairs, and that this is allowed. That a person he has affairs he needs to fulfill. He has some jobs that he needs to take care of. Then it's allowed for him to appoint somebody else to do that on his behalf. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he appointed Umar to collect the zakat. So this is something that is allowed. So it's allowed for any of the wikata. And there's details with regards to that likewise. They come in the chapter of al-Buyu'. But in general, this is an evidence for that. Specifically in collecting the zakat, that a person, he will appoint somebody else to collect that for him. Any of the imam. The imam, he will appoint somebody to collect that for him. And that's correct. And this is also proper and allowed. Also, it's allowed here. We see, yani, based upon one of those interpretations, that it's allowed to pay to take the responsibility of paying the zakat of somebody else. The obligation is upon somebody else, and a person, he will take that responsibility upon himself, as it's mentioned here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the responsibility to pay the zakat for Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu anhu. That this is something that is allowed. Also, from the benefits of this narration, we see, yani, that which, or an example of that which is narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, and is mentioned, is collected by Imam Muslim في مقدمة الصحيح. She said radiallahu anha that أمرنا أن ننزل الناس منازلهم. We were ordered to put everybody in their proper place. So this is the case, and this is just. So the one who is upright, and the one who is from the people of the Sunnah, the one who is honest, and he's known for truthfulness, and known for piety, then we say about them, he's righteous, he's good. This is our good brother. No, the one who's known for other than that, then we say that, then that's what we say. Based upon what a person knows. Somebody who's a tablighi, we call him tablighi. Somebody who's ikhwani, we call him, he's ikhwani. The one who hangs out with the hizbis, and he praises the hizbis, and the likes like this, and he calls to their way, we call him a hizbi. And if somebody who's a sunni, we call him a sunni. Like this, you put everybody in the proper place. The one who's a liar, we call him a liar. The one who's honest, then we call him honest. If somebody called the one that we know is honest to be a liar, we tell him, you're wrong. He's not a liar, he's honest. Just as or somebody said he's an oppressor, or somebody said he's unjust, or somebody said something bad about him, and we know contrary to that, then we put everybody in their proper place. So we do that with justice, not with favoritism. So the one who's blameworthy, and it's known from him that he is upon that way, that's mentioned about him, and the one who's praiseworthy, then he's mentioned likewise. So put everyone in his place, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was complained to him about three different individuals, and he blamed one of them and defended the other two and praised them. So this is the case. The one who deserves to be blamed, he's blamed. And the one who deserves to be praised, he's praised. And it's for the sake of Allah. And it's with justice and knowledge, not with desires and favoritism, and with ignorance and oppression. This is very important to realize. And no doubt, that which a person says affects his life and affects his heart, is an indication of what he is upon from his faith and from his deen. So from the most important affairs in the life of a believer is to check his tongue. And no one can check their tongue except that they have control of their soul and control of their self, and they have strong willpower. As for the one who's weak in his faith and weak in his religion and weak in his deen, and he has no control of himself, then his tongue is loose and he uses it in manners that he will regret whatever he meets Allah Azza wa Jal if he's not given success to repent. So also from the benefits of this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he defended them. Whenever he defended those who he defended, and whenever he blamed those who he blamed, is that he mentioned the reason likewise. So he defended them along with mentioning the wisdom behind that, in that defense. He didn't just say, no, they're good. He said, no, they're good because of this and because of that. Now, that you are oppressing him because of this and because of that, because of this and because of that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.